Hey, welcome to the Wonderful War Podcast. This is David, and I am glad that you are with us today. And I promised you last time that I had a very special guest, and she is back. And that is my wife, Susan. You heard from her last time. And so before we get into anything else, Susan, I want you to tell me what you think of the new theme song.
I think it's so awesome. I'm so super proud of our son, Michael. He's just our budding musician. We've got a lot of musicians in our family, but he's the one that just loves to be creative, and he's been doing lots of kinds of music like this for different, you know, people and situations and events, and it was pretty cool to hear him make this for you.
Yeah, so he got his musical talent from his mother, and or maybe he got it from his father, because he took it from me and gave it to you. So, but she does a tremendous job of music, and our kids have picked up on that over the years. They all play an instrument, sing, they all do something, and Michael has gotten into that and done a tremendous job. Had some good feedback, so thanks everybody for that, and way to go, Michael. So we're going to get into, you know, last time, Susan, you were here, we talked about a heavy subject of racism. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to go into a much lighter subject today and talk about death. Mm. and the reason we're talking about death is because, as you know, Susan and I were actually driving last night, and What a Wonderful World came on the radio. And we talked last time about bright, blessed days, but there's also dark, sacred nights. And I never think of dark, sacred nights with thinking about the Valley of the Shadow, the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And one thing that we know is, biblically, is that death is a certainty for all of us. But I think right now it's just a very heavy subject. You know, with the pandemic this year, over 100,000 people have died. And you may say, well, you know, people die from the flu too, but it's not like the flu stopped. So there's still 100,000 people dead. And then, of course, the death of that we saw in the news of Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd and what was the lady's?
Breonna Thompson.
Breonna Taylor. Those things. Is it Taylor?
I don't know. I think it's Thompson. But
is
I
it? Oh, all right. It's one of those.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But
Breonna is her name.
Yes. And, you know, that just has weighed heavily. And then because of the riots and the looting, you've had other deaths. So, it's just a really heavy subject. And I know I came in here this morning before we recorded before you got here and just sat like, I don't know, numb almost. I told the Lord I don't really know what to feel. And so, but death leaves us that way. We've had friends that during this pandemic, they lost a loved one, not to necessarily the coronavirus, but they lost a loved one and they couldn't go grieve like they normally do. And so this is just a real subject. And our goal today is to talk about the reality of the subject, and as we do every time, talk about it practically and theologically. And the one thing that Scripture tells us is that we do not grieve as those who have no hope when we are in Christ. But that doesn't mean our grief is any less palpable. As a matter of fact, that's what I feel right now. So what I want to do for just this time is to talk about that dark, sacred night and talk about the grief and where you see that practically. This is going to another two other deaths that I mentioned, and I know this is why I asked Susan. Recently, Ravi Zacharias, whom you and I both admired greatly. You were in his institute.
Yep.
You never got to hear him personally.
No.
Yeah.
The only one that didn't get to, all the rest of y'all did have, all the rest of our family.
Yeah, I got to hear him personally several years ago, and just a brilliant man, but the truly the great apologist of our day. And then this is going to air, and we are dedicating this episode. This is going to air Monday, June 8th.
Yeah.
And this is dedicated to your best friend, Tony Moeller, who passed away from cancer 2 years ago on that exact day. And so that's why I asked you to come, because I know that you have this heart and you know have this desire, and you've gone through grief. You and I have both gone through grief with people. We've been there with loved ones and church members and friends when they've died, and been with their family, and so we understand that. So I want you to just tell me initially, when we talk about death and we talk about grief, what are your initial thoughts? What are the initial things that come to your mind when we start talking about this subject?
You know, when you use that phrase from that song, the dark sacred night. That word dark, the dark night. That is exactly how it feels when you're walking through grief, when you're walking through loss. If you live long enough, you're going to experience loss and you're going to experience grief. That is a reality of life, and it is not something we, you know, often we don't even want to talk about it. Because quite frankly, we'd rather just focus on the good things, the happy things. You know, we don't want to be sad. We don't want to feel grief. We definitely don't want to feel loss. So that dark sacred night, it's real. It's painful. It's lonely. Sometimes you feel like there's not a soul in the world that can understand what you're walking through. And so when I think about death, when I think about grief, it brings me great sadness. But I will tell you, I think because of the Word of God, it also, I have an understanding of the hope that we have because of Jesus Christ. And so as believers, grief is not something to be pushed aside or to belittled in any way. It's to be recognized, but also to say, hey, we're going to make it through this. We're going to get through this. This dark, sacred night will not last forever. It will leave us, we will walk out of this valley changed. We will not leave unchanged, but we will walk through it.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's one thing we need to talk about, because in Christian circles over the years, there's always been this opinion, oh, we don't have to grieve. We shouldn't grieve because you know, everything is going to be okay in the end and everything else. And I think that just denies the humanity that God mm-hmm. gave us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's a dark, sacred night. That's sacred. It's a holy time and before God. Mm-hmm. And I think it always brings us back to Him, because we realize our frailty and we realize how much we need Him. What are some of the things that God has taught you practically? What are some of the ways you've dealt with? Let's deal with the practical for just a moment, if we could, of how you've dealt with death and how you've grieved and how your heart has dealt with these dark sacred nights.
You know, the stages of grief are something that I did not know when I was younger, because quite frankly, I had never really dealt with it. I was blessed really up until the age of, I think, I can't remember, maybe my 30s before I had a real true loss. I had a great grandfather that passed when I was younger, but for the most part, and as far as my family, you know, they all lived long lives. Both of my grandparents, though, who were very, very dear to me, passed when I was in my 30s. That was my first real, real experience with understanding grief. And then, as you said, through ministry, we have walked with many people through grief. That's something that you when you're in ministry, you're going to encounter it. That's a calling we have. And our church family is our family. And so we've walked through grief with them. And so the stages of grief are, you know, you start off with maybe shock, disbelief. Then it goes to anger. Mm-hmm. Then it goes to depression. And then finally the fifth stage is acceptance. And any counselor will tell you that's where you want to walk through to the place of acceptance. But you do, one thing I've learned, you have to walk through every stage of grief. You can't hide from them. You can't ignore them or wish them away. You have to walk through it. And I've learned that in walking through each of those stages, it can become, that word sacred, it can become a sacred, holy thing, because it will either push you farther away from God or it will draw you closer to God than you've ever been before. And it's a choice we have. Grief is real. Loss is real. And like you said, we're seeing it all around us in our world. And my heart literally breaks as I see what's going on around us. The grief, the sorrow, the evil upon evil around us. And then, like you said, our own personal losses. It hurts.
Yeah.
But we have to walk through those stages of grief. It's just an important part of life.
So let me deal with one of those things you said there. You said anger.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something sometimes we're like, oh, well, we're not supposed to be. But it does create anger.
Yeah.
And I think whether it be anger or depression, and forgive me for not nailing all of them, but I think the problem is when you stop and dwell on one of them.
Mm-hmm.
you know, if you just stop at anger or stop at depression.
You can't just stay in that place. You've got to move forward. You've got to allow your grief to move forward. Sometimes, you know, we would rather just stay in the disbelief stage. I just don't even want to take this in as truth. That the dark sacred night, you know, sometimes when you're walking through grief or sorrow, you're just like, I just want to wake up from this bad dream. This is all a bad dream, and I just want to wake up tomorrow and it'll be over. It's the disbelief. But you can't stay there. You have to accept, oh, this is my new reality. It hurts, but it's true. And you're right. You can't stay in the anger stage.
We're not saying get over it.
Exactly.
You know?
No, no, no. You can't ever get over it.
And also understand that everybody is going to spend longer in certain seasons.
True.
And I think I've had to learn that because you know me. I want to get over it as fast as possible kind of person.
Get to the acceptance and the happy part. Let's move on.
You know, I'm the kind of griever who wants to just get away somewhere by myself, go cry, get that all out. Okay, let's go. But not everybody's that way. And I know you've had to teach me that. But that's just a very true thing. I just want to reiterate, we're not saying, hey, get over it. We're saying
get through it.
Get through it. Yeah.
You can get through it. You will get through it. And the next thing I would say about grief is, yes, accept the stages of grief, but talk about it. That's where you get through it.
So why do you think we don't talk about it a lot?
You know, once again, we don't want to feel sad, and we don't want to make others feel sad. Mm. We don't want to make others feel sad. I mean, I felt that, you know, walking through grief, especially in the last 2 years. You know, you just don't, you don't want everybody else to feel your heaviness. You don't want to bring the spirits down, you know, everybody's having a good time and you're not, you know, and you don't want to bring that down. So we don't talk about it. And let's be honest, sometimes it can just be a pride thing. Yeah. We don't want to open ourselves up to others to let them know how much we're really hurting.
And I think we're also afraid of getting hurt more because we're afraid somebody is going to say, get over it.
That's really true because, you know, we've heard people say some of the, what word should I use? Not helpful things. Let's say that. They're not helpful. Okay. You know, sometimes people will say, you know, God just needed another angel. Oh, please don't say those kind of things. Acknowledge someone's grief. And just sit there with them. You know, I would say if someone who's grieving, find a safe place, find a safe person. The church should be that kind of a place. We should be able to come together and grieve with one another and hurt when someone else is hurting. And you should be able to feel safe there. But you need a place to feel, I can speak this out. That's why counselors are awesome. You know, you can go to counseling, and that's great. But, you know, sometimes you can just have a friend just to say, hey, I'm really hurting.
Yeah.
And not to give answers. Don't try to give somebody the pat answers. Well, here's why, and here's how to get through it, and here's how to make it better.
Exactly.
Just walk it out with them.
You know, I remember several years ago, we had some young couple in our church, and they lost a little infant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they are sweet, dear friends even to this day and still in our church, and God has blessed them with two wonderful kids. And recently, one of them became an Alabama fan, so that's even better. I've converted one. I've done my job. But I remember when they did that, we have some other dear friends that I called because they had lost a child in the same way. And and me not having experienced that, I really didn't know how to minister to them. And I remember calling them and saying, and they actually sent me a list of what not to say. And that was really helpful. They sent me a list of what not to say as much as what to say, because I think sometimes we feel like we have to say something. And a lot of times we just need to take that admonishment to be still and to just be present and to be in that place. I mean, we kind of beat up Job's three friends for being silent for 7 days, but it really wasn't until they started talking that the problems. And so maybe sometimes silence is the best thing you can do.
Very true. Very true.
So, you know, you're dealing with that practically, and I want to ask you, this is personal, so I don't think you'll mind sharing this with everybody. how does it affect you personally? And you and I have been married for 26 years. When you watch how I deal with things and then how you deal with things, how does it affect you personally, and how does it make you feel that, well, I feel it different than someone else? Because I think that's a real thing. Do you know what I'm saying? That's kind of a tough question to throw at you, but, you know, do you feel like, you know, maybe I should have handled this differently, or do you feel like that's who I am?
I guess, are you asking, like, how we handled grief differently?
Yeah, but do you feel almost sometimes guilty because you feel it different than I do?
No, I okay. don't.
I say that because I think some people may, and I'm just asking you, because I know, I will tell you, I will speak to me personally. I'm like, okay, why is this not, why are things not as deeply affecting me as it does Susan?
Well, first of all, no, I think it's one thing I think I've learned about myself is I feel things probably way too deeply, or that's how just God created me. But we all do feel things differently. And some people, you know, they can kind of walk through grief and like, okay, I'm through it. I'm over. You know, I'm better. Or I can move through. And other people, it just takes them a long time to get through it. They just feel things more deeply. We're created differently. Yeah. We have to be patient with each other. We have to just love each other through our grief, you know, walking through it. Some, like you said, sometimes you're looking at people like, okay, it's time to move through this now, but just love them enough to let them feel what they're feeling. That's the thing. That's the key. We have to feel what we're feeling, acknowledge it, experience it, and move on. Can I tell you this? When we allow ourselves to walk through those stages of grief, it gives us compassion for others. And I think sometimes that's what we lack so much in our world. We don't truly have compassion. Compassion means to suffer with. And I love the word empathy. Empathy means I feel what you're feeling.
Wow, that's good.
And that's why it's so important to allow ourselves to grieve, because if we don't get it when the person next to us is still, you know, in mourning, still hurting. Hey, this happened 2 years ago and you're still mourning over it? Yeah, because they feel it so deeply. Compassion and empathy are key.
That's good. And I brought that up because I know me personally that sometimes I have gone through that feeling of, you know, that I grieve differently than someone else. Mm-hmm. Is that wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that this dark sacred night isn't any more dark
right.
or sacred for me.
Right.
It's just I'm different. And I think people need to allow that. And I think one thing we kind of lack in our society is allowing people that are different than mm-hmm. us and feel different than us.
Yeah.
You and I both know Emerson Eggerich does Love and Respect conferences. He says all the time, listen, your spouse is not wrong. They're just different.
That's right.
And I think if we learn that about society, that people aren't wrong. They're just different.
Mm-hmm.
And grief is going to be one of those things that we deal with differently and in a very practical way. Theologically, what brings you through? What helps you when you deal with this dark, sacred night, when you are in that valley of the shadow of death?
Yeah. Invite the Lord into your grief. And I say invite because we're like, well, isn't God already there? He is. The Word of God says He is near to the brokenhearted. But we have to purposefully say, Lord, come and sit with me. Mm. One of the things that happens sometimes with grief is we talk about that word anger, being angry with God or just being hurt. I remember feeling that after Tony passed. And I'll try to speak with this without crying because I'm starting to tear up right now just talking about it. But you know, I don't have time to maybe tell who Tony was and maybe share who she was to
you
me personally, but she was, we use that term best friend. It's hard to explain because she was a very dear, dear person to my soul. We connected more on a spiritual level than anything else, which is very strange because if you knew Tony, she was just, we're very different people, very different people. Like, we would never have probably had, like, a theological discussion ever, but we had a God discussion. There's a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
She saw God in everything. And so we got connected spiritually. Tony was someone who God just knit my heart with. She was someone who suffered greatly in life. She, when I say, I want to be careful saying that, but she actually lived with a condition called HS, a very painful skin condition.
Right.
And it really made just life hard. It made getting out of bed difficult, sometimes just like getting dressed. It was very, very painful for her. And a lot of people didn't know what was about that because she was also very private. And so she shared this with me. I had known her for years and didn't even know this about her, but she shared this with me one day and it just touched my heart so much to hear her story and to see her. I'd watch her do life and I just began to pray, earnestly pray for her. God just knit my heart with her. And she also began to pray for me about things that were going on in my life. And God connected us in that way spiritually. So I had been praying for her healing literally for every day for years. I remember fasting and praying. I fasted and prayed one summer for 35 days. You know, I'd miss one meal a day fasting and praying for Tony's healing. And then for years after that, every Thursday, I would fast and pray for my family and I'd fast and pray for Tony. It was just like it was part of my very being.
Yeah.
And then she got cancer. And walking through that, there was a lot of hurt with God because God wasn't answering the prayers the way I thought he should, the way I wanted him to, the way I expected him to. Because I know God can do anything, and I believe so strongly in prayer, and I just knew God was going to heal my friend, and he was going to do a miraculous work. So I say that to say when God answered differently. He answered differently. And so there was a time where I had to literally get alone with God. Let me say this too. When someone's taken from you suddenly, that is hard. My heart hurts for those. Right. Because I will say this in some ways. I think it's almost a grace when we're allowed the time to process, hey, they may not be with us much longer.
Yeah.
You know, and you watch them walk that road of whether it be cancer or, you know, a disease that you know is terminal. I got to, during that process, walk this out with God, mm-hmm. surrender it to God. Yeah. But there was a lot of hurt. And even after she passed, there was still a lot of hurt. And I remember months later, just sitting in the presence of God and not even knowing what to say to him. Like, I didn't know how to pray anymore. My heart was hurt. It wasn't that I was necessarily angry, but I was hurt.
Yeah.
And just sitting there saying, God, I don't even know what to say to you. My heart hurts so much. Will you just come please sit with me?
And
he did.
Yeah.
And he came and he sat with me, and I invited him, his presence, into that's my good. Grief. And I believe that's where that dark night becomes a sacred night. When you feel the presence of God step into your grief, he doesn't necessarily give you the answers. He doesn't necessarily say, oh, let me explain to you why I did all this. No, no, no. He just says, let me sit with you, and you feel his presence.
So if this isn't too personal,
mm-hmm.
would you mind sharing how God showed you that Tony, you know, I'm talking about?
Yeah. So that's it. One of the things I was going to share as far as just looking for moments,
yeah.
God moments. I'll share this first before I talk about the God moments. I had prayed for Tony's healing literally every day for years. And then especially there towards the end, I'd wake up, pray for her pain. God, please ease her pain. God, heal her. God, touch her. And I remember waking up a few days after she passed. And my first thought was, pray for Tony, because I'd done it. It was just like instinct. Pray for her, Tony. Pray for Tony. And I started to pray, and all of a sudden, that reality, oh, you're not waking up from this bad dream, it's real, came to me. And then I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speak so clearly to my heart and say, you will never have to pray for her again. Your prayer has been answered.
Yeah.
She is completely healed. Because I used to pray, Lord, heal her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And the peace of God began to minister to me there. But I will tell you this, when you are grieving and when you've gone through loss, look for the God moments. This is one thing I did learn more from Tony. And you know, I've always been kind of the person like, hey, God's in the little things. And you used to kind of laugh at me about that because like God's in the little things. But one of the things that I connected with Tony with about so much was she thought the same thing. Like she could see God in so many ways. And so I will tell you, the day that she passed, that morning, of course, I did not know that was going to be the day, but I remember I was sitting in my car at Walmart, of all places, and I'm sitting in the car there, and my heart's just heavy because I knew time was short, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just praying, and a song that was really special to Tony and I was His Eyes on the Sparrow. I had sung that one Sunday, and she recorded it, and she used to listen to it when she was really hurting in the middle of the night. She shared that with me, and so that song was real special to me. And I remember I'm sitting there in the car, and a little bird comes, and he just sits right there on the ledge of my window and just pecks. And it kind of caught my attention because I heard something. I just turned and looked, and there was this little brown bird just looking at me, just you know, nothing fancy, just this little brown bird. And it was like the Lord said, I'm here, and I'm with her. And that was the day that she went home to be with Jesus. And then I remember those God moments. You and I went away. You were so good to me. You knew I was grieving, and you took me away for a while just to grieve. We went down to St. Augustine, just got in a little place there, and just left me alone.
We got two rooms.
Yes, we did.
We got two a place that had literally two bedrooms, and I went in one and just stayed there for probably 48 hours.
You just let me go to the other room and just
be by myself. And just were there, and I think that's important. I think a lot of times we're like, oh, we got to surround. Sometimes there are moments you need to be surrounded and with love, but you need that as well. So go ahead.
You were so good about that. But yes, when we went away, I remember I was just broken. Just everything had just kind of, you know, just come to a head, and I was just broken. And I remember we went to grab something for dinner that night, and we walked into Publix. And do you remember?
Yes.
We walk in the store, and right in front of us, there's this Coke display.
Yeah, when they used to have the Coke.
Yes, names, with the names on them, and Tony loved her some Coke. And there's a Coke bottle with said, Shara, share a memory. What did it say? Share
something with
share something whatever with it said. Share a Coke with Tony, and the name T-O-N-I is right there staring me in the face. And I was just like, oh my goodness. And some people say, oh, that's just a coincidence. I knew it wasn't a coincidence. And then the next morning I wake up and I hadn't been on social media in a few days. I just opened up my social media and there was my memory of the day was from Tony. It was you and I singing it as well with my soul. And her words that she had written years ago came up that day and it said, thank you for always being there for me.
Yeah.
Wow. For me, those were God moments. Those are moments that God just said, hey, I'm here. I love you. I am grieving with you. Precious in the Lord is precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And if you'll look for those moments, God will show them to you.
And you know, I always put another verse for that. The memory of the just is blessed.
Yes, that's good.
And you know, when you combine those two things, it lets us know, hey, God cares about this. And he also cares about the memories that you
yes.
have. And he says, hey, look what you get to have together. Yes. Because when I think of, and we knew we were going to get into Tony on this. So, and we just, that's why we wanted to dedicate this to her. I remember us praying so much for her to be healed, not just you and I, our church.
Yeah.
We had times we gathered together. I mean, I remember one night where we literally our church family sat here and we put all the chairs in a big circle and we just wept together
yeah.
and prayed and asked the Lord. And I remember the day that Tony was doing chemo and I talked to you about this many times. And I was praying and I was like, you know, God's going to heal you. And she just looked at me, and she did not say a word. She didn't nod her head. She didn't do anything. She just looked at me, and we made eye-to-eye contact for, it felt like eternity. But it wasn't, but it felt like, and her face said to me, I'm gonna die, and it's okay. And I remember almost feeling anger in my spirit. No, Tony, you're going to live. And her just saying, no. It's okay. And I remember, I've recalled that over and over and over again. I think you and Wayne were talking. And Wayne is her husband, I should
yes.
say that. Wayne is her husband. Awesome. And Wayne, I hope you hear this. We love you.
Yes.
I remember you and her looking at me, and it's like she was comforting me at this moment
yeah.
about her death that hasn't happened yet. And just once... a God moment? Yeah, it was one of those moments where God had to say to me, if she's okay with it, and I'm okay with it, I need you to be okay with it. Because I felt like I had to lead people after that.
Mm-hmm.
And also had to be a comfort to you. So it was like God needed me to process some of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we don't do a lot of times with death. We don't process. We see the tragedy of it. And it is
yes.
tragic. And it is sad. But we need to find... what's God doing in this thing? And there are people all over the place that have little gold coins because Tony would give these gold coins. There's rocks that you can
yeah.
still find. There's one outside our church right now in the bushes has her name on it. She was just such an impactful
yes.
person. I never
yes.
see a person with a tie-dye shirt on
right.
that I don't think of her. And just the fact that God just reminds you, and that's why I say the memory of the just is blessed. All those things bring those memories. And so we have to learn to cherish those things and to realize, yes, the Lord, precious is thy Lord, death of his saints, and those things. We got a few minutes left, but what else, you know, do you see in this thing?
You know, redemption.
Oh, yeah.
I love this word, redemption.
Yeah.
And you've talked a lot about resurrection. We've
yeah.
talked a lot about that lately.
Absolutely.
I love the scripture, and I've been pondering it, and it's been on my heart so much. John 11, Jesus said to Martha, by the way, let me back up a little bit. Martha looked at Jesus and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died.
Right.
So I want to say to anyone who's grieving and is still maybe in that anger stage or just that questioning stage, you can say that to God. He can take it. If you had been here, if you would have just answered my prayer, you could have
right.
stopped this, God. And remember the rest of the story? You know, read the rest of John 11 and you'll have a bigger understanding. But he says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked the question, do you believe this? And I want to say for those of us who are believers, our grief is real. Our sorrow is real. Remember John 11:35, Jesus wept.
Yeah.
He weeps with us. But that's not the end of the story. The rest of the story is redemption. The rest of the story is resurrection. And redemption is buying back that which has been lost. Our God can buy back our grief, our pain, our sorrow, and fill it up with more than we can even imagine. You know, as you're talking about Tony and those gold coins, I was thinking about that this morning, how God redeems things. Because yeah. You know what? We live life with, I know you and I do, we live life with more purpose now. Like, we're looking for people, just like Tony did. If you knew Tony's story, she was looking for people to give those gold coins to. She was looking for people to say, hey, I'm praying for you today. Let me be a friend to you today. And so because of that, because of her example, I do that even more so.
Yeah, she was loving everybody before it was a hashtag.
Absolutely, she was. I mean, she was the perfect picture of love everybody. Yeah. That's who she was. That she didn't care who you were, where you came from, what your story was. I don't care what your background was, what the color of your skin was. She's going to love you.
Yep.
And you knew it. And so redeem that which has been taken from you. And remember that God is in the story of redemption. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger story than you can even imagine. And on the other side is resurrection. And I'll tell you, that's what's given me hope and peace. And, you know, in this grief, I still feel the grief of her loss. I grieve for her. I love Wayne so much. I love her children. I love her sisters. They're like my own personal family. And I grieve for their loss. But, hey, resurrection's coming.
Yeah.
I know where Tony is, and that's the hope of heaven. Like, yeah. I know she's not dead. She's alive. She is living a completely pain-free, completely healed, completely whole life, and that just thrills my soul.
Yeah.
And so redemption and resurrection is on the other side, and keep our eyes on that, because that's what's going to get us. That's what's going to get us through the anger and the depression, which is very real, to acceptance, and not just accepting it, but even, can I say this? Rejoicing
yeah.
in it, rejoicing in the loss, rejoicing in the grief. We yeah. can do that because of Jesus.
Amen. So there's redemption, resurrection, and rejoicing.
Amen.
And we do. That's why we said at the outset, we don't grieve as those who don't have any hope. There is hope, and if you don't have that hope, and you're like, man, I don't see any hope in this, I'm gonna tell you, Jesus is the hope, mm-hmm. and you can find it, and he brings that into your life. And Susan, thank you for sharing. I know this is always a difficult subject for anybody, but here's what I would say to you in the end of it all, for everybody listening, in the valley of the shadow of death, for there to be a shadow, there has to be light.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good.
And Jesus Christ is that light. Yes. God has given us the light of himself. And so you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, but there is light. And I just want to give you that encouragement. I know this episode is a little heavier. Last time we laughed and did some things. But you know what? That's life. I mean, mm-hmm. life has those. And mm-hmm. and I just want to encourage you. And I don't know, maybe this today will just encourage or inspire you to go forward. Maybe you're going through something with someone right now and it's hard to see the other side. Or maybe you're in that place of anger or depression. We just want to tell you that you are loved, you know, and that Christ loves you. But you know, maybe you hear this and we don't even know your name, but we love you. And we're thankful for what God has done. So this has been just dedicated to Tony. I want to thank you so much all for just everything you've poured into this podcast. Some of you have left great comments and you've encouraged me in other ways. And I'm just glad. And I'm not going to cover the Patreon thing. You can find that later. We'll talk about that at another time. But I just want to leave you today just knowing that Christ is hope. Amen. And that you can depend on that. And so thank you for being a part of just the podcast. And Susan, thank you again. I love you.
I love you. Thank you for having me.
Wayne, all of you yes. that are grieving, we love you. And just know there's hope in Jesus. God bless.